Welcome to Locked On Warriors. If you like the podcast, make sure to hit subscribe and follow to get the latest on the Warriors every day. And if you really like the podcast, leave a review or tell a friend. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your next order. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, it's Locked On Warriors on a Tuesday. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Did not have a show on Monday, the Monday following the All-Star break. I was also on my own break, so wasn't able to get a show for you yesterday. We are back now. We will have shows for the rest of the week. Got a really great week planned. We've got games for the second half of the schedule tipping off. We're going to have a mailbag coming up later in the week, so get your questions in for that. Remember to guarantee that your question is answered. Leave it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. But I want to get to this Victor Oladipo stuff in a minute. But because we didn't have the episode yesterday, I want to talk about the All-Star break, the condensed All-Star weekend, all of the things in one night. Steph Curry won the three-point contest by making his final two shots, then scored 28 points and really set the tone for the winning Team LeBron in the All-Star game. Curry looked right at home, and it was a thrill to see him on the court with elite NBA players again. And it's just a reminder how long it's been that we've truly seen that. Going back to the three-point contest, he goes out there. He's playing against Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Mike Conley. And he looked so confident. He was so confident leading up to that three-point shootout and going into that final round. He goes off for 31 points in round one, gets the necessary 28 in round two to beat Conley's 27. But he never wavered. He was super confident. I think everybody watching was confident. So rare is it in the three-point contest that the favorite just wins, right? Steph has won it before, but it's rare that the favorite just outright wins. But Steph, there was so much confidence from him and around him, and he deserved, obviously, to win that. And so it was a really cool way to kind of get into that All-Star game, right? Because on a normal night, that would have happened on a Saturday night, and then the All-Star game would have been on a Sunday night. But in this condensed version in Atlanta, they did the skills competition, then the three-point shootout, and then the All-Star game. They had the dunk contest at halftime. I thought it was actually pretty cool. I thought the dunk contest was disappointing, no doubt. It would have been nicer to have, you know, Zach LaVine and Zion Williamson were there. Would have been better if they were participating instead of, you know, Anthony Simons, who, that kissing the rim thing, like, he didn't even really get close to the rim. I don't know that anybody else deserved to win. You know, I don't know that Obi Toppin got robbed. I guess I appreciated Simons' sort of workman approach to it. He was creative. He put real thought into every single round. So he deserved to win it in that way. But let's not act like the kissing the rim thing was a good dunk, because it wasn't. His best dunk, I think, was his first one, where he grabbed it off the little, you know, handmade rim fastened, you know, 12 feet above the court. I thought that was probably his best one. I like the Tracy McGrady shout out. That's always fun when you evoke, you know, sort of dunk contests of the past. But yeah, he didn't kiss the rim. Didn't even get close. I don't know that he should have kissed it, given that it was a pandemic and there was a lot of hands on that rim. But you gotta get closer than that. You know, he's like a foot away. A little disappointing. Anyway, it was a cool way, I thought, for Steph Curry to win the three-point contest and then go right into the All-Star game, because he went into the All-Star game in rhythm and was something, you know, to say. Not something to prove, but something to say, where he wanted to make his imprint on the game. LeBron James went into that game prepared to do as little as possible, saying that he will be physically there but not mentally there. He played, I don't know, a handful of minutes, scored like 4 points or something, just wasn't even available. Steph Curry said, I'm going to be here. If I have to be here, I'm going to be here. I'm going to have fun with it. And he did. And I think it was because on the heels of winning that three-point contest and the adrenaline rush after that, he came out, set the tone early, was launching these 30-footers, was hitting these threes. It was just him and Giannis neck and neck by halftime for who it was that was going to be Finals MVP because it was very apparent early on that Team LeBron was much better than Team Durant. Durant is a terrible GM. LeBron is a great GM in these All-Star games. It's the reason why Team LeBron now, I think, is 3-0, 4-0 in this system. But, you know, I thought that Steph doing that made it known. And when I say that, setting the tone early, making those threes, being unafraid to hit those shots like he always is. He's an alpha, right? I mean, he is an alpha among alphas. Now, I know LeBron James didn't really care, didn't really show up, but Steph Curry is right there. And by the way, first time LeBron and Steph ever played together, and LeBron loved it, tweeting afterwards that he had the best time playing with Steph. Steph Curry is an alpha of alphas. And I know that Giannis won the MVP, and that Damian Lillard hit the game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer. Damian Lillard doesn't hit that three if not for Steph Curry's existence. Steph Curry made that three-pointer that Damian Lillard, even in an All-Star game. Players pulling up from half-court in an All-Star game was still weird 5 years ago. Steph Curry made that possible. He is an alpha of alphas. He belongs on the floor with those players. He is having an MVP-caliber season or close to it. And it was jarring to see him playing next to elite NBA players again. Across the court from elite NBA players like that. And raising his game and being on the winning team. Because we were so used to that for so long. We just haven't seen it lately. Klay Thompson obviously hasn't been on the court. You don't get those special Klay moments. Draymond Green is obviously in another phase of his career now. You got nice play. Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre. Yeah, but they're not elite. They're not in the All-Star game. You miss seeing that. Not just because Kevin Durant left. But because Klay Thompson's been injured, because Draymond Green so clearly is not in that stage of his career anymore, athletically, physically, because we haven't seen Steph play in a meaningful playoff series since 2019. It feels like so long ago. Considering that also it was, you know, in the middle of a pandemic that's been, you know, we're the year anniversary of this pandemic, it feels like 10 years. Everything before this pandemic feels like a decade ago. It just feels like we haven't seen it in so long. And so after the game, Steph Curry talking with media, holding his three-point contest winning trophy, just happy, exuberant, just elated to be there when so many people just weren't. And he was so excited to be there. You could tell. He really was. And I don't think he expected that either. I think he missed being on the floor with that kind of talent, on that kind of stage. I think Steph missed that himself. And I don't think he fully realized that he would until it was actually happening. The thrill of that competition, the three-point contest that he wanted to win, So often those things come down to who wants it the most because those players are focused. Conley, he really wanted it. First-time All-Star, overlooked his entire career. He really wanted it. So did Steph, and ultimately he's just a way better three-point shooter, and so he ultimately won out. But in that All-Star game, who else showed up? Giannis showed up. Because he always wants these things. And he's probably feeling a little disrespected after nobody's taking him seriously in the MVP conversation. He showed up. Damian Lillard showed up. Because he wants to prove that he belongs in the MVP conversation. Not the All-Star MVP, the real MVP conversation. And Steph showed up. Why? Because he loves that. He shows up for it. He lives for it. He loves that stage. I think he forgot a little bit how much he loved it until he was actually there. And boy, he embraced it. And he looked right at home. I want to talk about why Victor Oladipo would be a good fit for the Warriors and what they'd be willing to give up for him next. But first, let's talk about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered from all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about our friends at Rock Auto. Rock Auto has been supporting us on the Locked On Podcast Network here on the Locked On Warriors podcast for a very long time, and it's time that you support them because they have been so loyal in supporting us. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog was remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at chain stores or car dealerships. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So this Victor Oladipo stuff, I've got a problem with just the way that this thing has been covered. And to catch you up in case you're not aware, The Ringer's Kevin O'Connor reported on Monday that the Warriors have shown interest in acquiring Rockets guard Victor Oladipo. And so the talk around that quickly became, what would you give up for Oladipo and would he be a good fit for the Warriors? And I will get to that, the fit thing, here in a minute. But again, I have an issue just with the way that this thing was covered. Now, I believe that the Warriors have shown interest in Victor Oladipo, okay? I believe that that is the case. So I'm not doubting that report, everything that I'm hearing. I believe that that the Warriors would be interested in talking about Victor Oladipo. The problem is that people look at Victor Oladipo, former All-Star, big name. Oh, well, you'd have to get rid of the Minnesota pick. Oh, you would have to trade Wiseman. Like, what would it take? Would you have to trade Draymond Green or Klay Thompson or Andrew Wiggins? No. Are you kidding? Victor Oladipo isn't any good right now. If you're the Warriors, you would be buying low on Victor Oladipo, hoping that you can coax more out of him than what he's looked like so far in Houston. That a year from now, next season, he would be better than he is now. And that's the other part. Oh, he's on an expiring contract. He would just be a rental. Why would you do it? It's a short-term solution. Bob Myers is out here saying that they don't want any short-term solutions. No, wouldn't. You re-sign him. You have his rights. You would re-sign him. It would not be a short-term solution to trade Victor Oladipo. The way that this has been covered has been so inaccurate and just wrong. I am not saying whether or not the Warriors should or shouldn't do it yet. I'm not saying that they will or will do it. All I'm saying is that if they did do it, it would absolutely be a long-term play. Oladipo would not be a short-term play. That would be a long-term play. Oladipo is clearly not healthy right now. Oladipo would not help you as the Warriors get to the playoffs any more than anybody else on this roster right now. He wouldn't. He's not healthy. It's clearly the case that he is not healthy. If you traded for Victor Oladipo, that would be a move for next season. And Bob Myers has said, any trades that they do, they would be looking at next season and the fit for next season. Oladipo plays into that because he's not healthy now, but you would bet that he would be healthy next season. So what would it take then to get rid of Victor Oladipo? Because it would not take the Minnesota pick. It would not take James Wiseman. If the Warriors parted with any of those assets for Victor Oladipo, the entire front office should be fired immediately, and they won't do that because that's not what it's going to take. No, this deal would be based on Kelly Oubre. Because in acquiring Oladipo, you would be trying to maintain that cap slot. That Andre Iguodala cap slot, that trade exception that started with Andre Iguodala, turned into Kelly Oubre, and then you would try to turn that into Victor Oladipo. And I'll tell you why the Warriors would do that. But first, this is how they would do it. You would trade Kelly Oubre with some other salary. Maybe it's Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal and Brad Wanamaker. Maybe they would ask for Kevon Looney. I don't think that the Warriors would want to go. I think that would be a deal breaker. I don't think that they look at Oladipo as that much of an asset because it's unclear what his long-term health would be, that they would be willing to get rid of Looney right now, especially while Wiseman is so young. And you really do need Looney as part of that starting lineup right now. So it would be Kelly Oubre, some other salary, and that's it. That's it. Maybe a second-round pick. Maybe. And I strongly doubt that that would even be the case. Because who's a better player right now? Is it Oubre or Oladipo? Right now, it's Oubre. Right now, Kelly Oubre is the better player. And if you look at what Houston needs, they need wings. Kelly Oubre's a wing. Kelly Oubre's young. They're rebuilding. Yeah. I don't think it would take draft picks. I think it would just be a fit thing for both sides. For the Rockets, they'd say, look, Victor Oladipo, clearly not a fit for us. It's not worked out. He's not healthy. Maybe we trade him for a guy who is younger and healthier, Kelly Oubre. A guy who plays a position of need because we got John Wall at point guard. Kelly Oubre can run off of him. They can get out and run and do these things. All of a sudden, you've got John Wall, Kelly Oubre, Christian Wood. I'm not saying that that's a playoff team, but it's something. The fit makes more sense than Oladipo does for them. Right? And if you're the Warriors, I think Oladipo would really help out next season when Klay Thompson comes back. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about Built Bar Madness. We've been telling you about Built Bar for a long time. The best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is amazing. It's low calories, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on every bar. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup over at BuiltBar.com is between banana nut bread and toffee almond, and then orange and peanut butter. So banana nut bread and toffee almond. Now, banana nut bread is probably the top seed in this matchup, but I am telling you, you listeners of this program know this, toffee almond is one of my top three favorite Built Bar flavors. So I'm voting for toffee almond, and I'm doing it right now at BuiltBar.com. You just go to the website, click on the bracket, and you can make your selection. So I'm voting toffee almond in an upset over banana nut bread. And then in the second matchup of the day, we've got orange, right? So chocolate-covered orange and peanut butter. Guys, I told you toffee almond was one of my top three. These are the other top two. Orange and peanut butter going head-to-head. I don't know what to do, but I know that I've been eating Built Bar so long that peanut butter could get a redemption later on, because there's not only peanut butter, but there's peanut butter brownie. And I think peanut butter brownie might be slightly better than peanut butter. I don't know. I'll have to taste them again to find out. Orange and peanut butter, this one's tough for me. I'm going to go orange in this one, and I'm going to go ahead and vote right now. Boom. That is my bracket for the day. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @Built_bar on Twitter to vote. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off on your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, then you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Talking about how Victor Oladipo would fit with the Warriors next season. So this would be, as I've described, a long-term play for the Warriors, not a short-term play. And despite some of the media coverage, they wouldn't have to give up their biggest assets. This would be more of a minor move. Minor might not be the right word. But we're talking about not getting rid of one of your top assets. We're talking about flipping sixth and seventh men of the future for Oladipo. Now, this is the reason why, and I wrote this recently, and I've talked about this. I think Kelly Oubre is a good player. I've been really impressed with what he's done with the Warriors. I do question whether or not he has a long-term role on this team, because I don't know what it looks like when Klay Thompson comes back. Do you trust Kelly Oubre to come off the bench? Can he be a creator for you off the bench? And this Warriors team quite clearly needs more creators. They need more shot makers and playmakers, okay? Oubre's a shot maker, not a playmaker, right? Draymond Green, playmaker, not a shot maker. Klay Thompson, shot maker, not a playmaker. Oladipo, theoretically, is a playmaker and shot maker. Now, this season, he's been nothing like a shot maker. He's not been a very good playmaker either. So I think you could get him at a really low price. You could bet low on him now. He's making $21 million now. He's not going to make that much this offseason. You could potentially re-sign him for less than what Kelly Oubre will cost you next season. So that's part of it, right? Because Oubre and Oladipo are both expiring after this year. They will be free agents this summer. It's going to probably cost more to bring back Oubre than it would Oladipo. I would bet it would cost more to bring back Oubre than Oladipo. But Oladipo, if actualized, if healthy next year, and you would have to believe he'd be maybe not 100% of what he was, but certainly better than what he is now. He's clearly not in shape, not healthy right now in Houston. So you'd have to bet he's something at least a little bit better than that. If not, he might not ever be the all-star caliber player he was that one year in Indiana. But he's got to be better than what he is now. And a better version of Oladipo would be able to make plays for you off the bench, play alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, because he's got the size to do that, and he's got the playmaking chops to do it, and he could shoot enough to do that as well. And defensively, he works. He fits when he's healthy. So if you look at what this team looks like next year, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, James Wiseman, that's your starting five. What do you need off the bench? I don't know that you need Oubre as this slasher guy, as this off-ball guy, and even as a defender, because if Oladipo's healthy, he could be as good a defender as Oubre. Better even. And Oladipo would play more of that Andre Iguodala type role, because unlike Oubre, he can run an offense. We've seen Oladipo run an offense for a playoff team in Indiana. We have seen him do that before. Oubre does not have that skill set. And so when you look at what this team could be, Victor Oladipo coming off the bench is a much better fit than Kelly Oubre is coming off the bench next year when Klay Thompson is back, because you need more playmakers. Because even with Oubre and Klay Thompson next year, you only have shot makers, not playmakers. This team needs more playmaking. It's why they were interested in Lonzo Ball. And by the way, they may have missed their shot at that because he looks great right now in New Orleans. I was always on board with that trade. That ship may have sailed, though. They may have missed their shot at that. So now that you've missed your shot at Lonzo Ball, maybe Victor Oladipo, I don't mind this move. Now, again, it depends on how much salary you have to give up, how many real good players you have to give up. And I think that would probably be the breaking point here, because this contract, $21 million, it's hard to stack up enough salaries to get there. If all it cost you was Oubre and, you know, Jordan Poole and Brad Wanamaker, you would consider it. That would still be costing the Warriors a good amount of money. Maybe you can move Alan Smailagic in that deal as well. You're still spending a little bit more on that roster than you are now, but maybe it would be worth it to Joe Lacob and this ownership group to do that, to spend a little bit more money in luxury taxes in order to get the better fit for next year. Because I do think that if he's healthy, Oladipo is a much better fit for these Warriors next year than Kelly Oubre, and I like Kelly Oubre. I love Kelly Oubre. I think he's a really good player. I'm just looking at the fit. And the Warriors could really use a guy like Oladipo if Oladipo were healthy. That's the biggest question for the Warriors. Can he get back to that level? Ultimately, I think it's just too dicey to make that move right now. Now, there's another couple weeks here. When teams come back, how does Oladipo look? One executive told me he doesn't expect trade talks to really start materializing until that last week before the March 25th deadline. So between now and March 25th, if Oladipo looks healthy, maybe something materializes then. But right now, he just hasn't shown enough that it would be worth getting rid of probably two rotation players, maybe three, in order to bring him on, because there's just so many questions regarding his health. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to the podcast. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. I'll see you here tomorrow morning.